ಪ್ರಾಣೀ ಗುಣಾನುಕಥನೆ ಶ್ರವಣೌ ಕಥಾಯಾಂ ಹಸ್ತೌ ಚ ಕರ್ಮ ಸಮನಸ್ತವ ಪಾದಯೋರ್ನ ಸ್ಮೃತ್ಯಾಂ ಶಿರಸ್ತವ ನಿವಾಸ ಜಗತ್ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೇ ದೃಷ್ಟಿಸ್ಸತಾಂ ದರ್ಶನೇಸ್ತು ಭವತ್ತನೂನಾಂ. ಓ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ವಿ ಪ್ರೇ ದಟ್ ಅವರ್ ಸ್ಪೀಚ್ be devoted to the narration of thy glories, our ears be devoted to the hearing of thy infinite glories, may our hands be engaged in performance of thy worship, may our minds be engaged in meditating on your holy feet, may we use our heads to bow down to the whole world which is your abode, and our eyes be engaged in seeing thy glorious presence in all the forms. Om, peace. Peace be within us all. Peace and harmony be amongst all beings. And peace be everywhere in nature. Good morning. Welcome. This morning we ponder the question of continuation of life, the continuing journeys. Journey means spiritual journey. This question of life after death has captured the imagination of people from the very beginning of mankind, it seems. What happens after death? The ancient rishis also faced this question. In the Katha Upanishad, this is how the Upanishad begins. The young boy Nachiketa goes to the abode of death, Lord Yama. Notice his question, what happens after death? He says, some people believe that something survives the death of the body, and some other people say nothing, that's the end. What is the truth? Like this, this question has fascinated us from the very beginning of our existence. In the Upanishads, various Upanishads, we have seen the rishis address this question. Katha Upanishad is the one where that is the main question. In the Chandogya Upanishad also, you will be studying parts of the Chandogya Upanishad later this month during Swami Sarvadevanji's visit. This question of life after death is addressed in the Chandogya Upanishad. There it is made very clear, yes, there is life after death. Death of the physical body is not the end of the soul's existence. The soul continues to exist until it reaches perfection and becomes united with the divine. The journey has to continue. In Chandogya Upanishad it says, what happens after death depends upon what we do now or what we have been doing in this life and previous lives. It puts the responsibility for our future on our own shoulders. We can make our personality the way we want. How? By our thoughts and actions. What I am at this moment in my life, happy or unhappy, ill or well, whatever I am at this moment, the personality you are seeing in front of you, this is nothing but the sole creation of my own making. This moment is the culmination of everything that I have done, said, and thought in my long existence over periods of many lifetimes. So we are the architects of our personality. That theme comes in the Upanishads in several places. Chandogya Upanishad makes it clear. It says, those who do good deeds in this world, when they are living in this world, attain good birth accordingly after the body dies. They are born in very good circumstances and continue their spiritual journey until the destination is reached. However, those who do not do good deeds in this life, who engage in bad deeds, They'll be born also, but in lower forms of birth. As animals, probably. Chandogya Upanishad makes it somewhat graphic. It says, Ikapuya charana abhyasa yate kapuya mwanima padyaran swayonima sukaryonima. You may be born even as dogs or pigs. But those who do good deeds, they'll be born in very good families, conducive to the continuation of their spiritual journey until the destination is reached. The same theme is explained by Lord Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita in clearer terms and in less equivocal terms. Sri Ramakrishna and Swami Vivekananda, they seemed to de-emphasize this question itself. For example, this topic of life after death was raised by devotees when they saw Sri Ramakrishna on several occasions. His usual reply was that the question was not important. It is important to cultivate devotion to God. It's important to know God and then not waste our time discussing whether there is going to be life after death or not. He seemed to not place much emphasis on the on this question. He sometimes gave evasive replies, but on some occasions he gave very clear replies. We'll see both. A Brahmo devotee once asked Sri Ramakrishna, "Sir, do you believe in the reincarnation of the soul?" Sri Ramakrishna said like this, I'm reading from the Gospel. "Yes, they say there is something like that. How can we understand the ways of God through our small intellects? Many people have spoken about reincarnation, therefore I cannot disbelieve it." This is not a very definite yes or no reply. They say, many people have said, yes, there is something after life, after death, life continues, so it must be true. But he himself does not clarify it or one says decisively one way or another, does not give a reply. And again, on another occasion, when M. Mahendranath Gupta, the author of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, brought up this question, he said similar reply. M.'s question was, "I have not much faith in rebirth and inherited tendencies. Will that in any way injure my devotion to God?" That was M's question. Sri Ramakrishna replied, "It is enough to believe that all is possible in God's creation. Never allow the thought to cross your mind that your ideas are the only true ones and that those of others are false. Then God will explain everything." And then he continues to expand on this to M. "What can a man understand of God's activities? The facets of God's creation are infinite. I do not try to understand God's actions at all. I have heard that everything is possible in God's creation, and I always bear that in mind." He does not address the question directly. He says everything is possible in God's creation. How can you understand whatever God does, all of God's actions with our small intellects? That way he replies. "Therefore, I do not give a thought to this world, but meditate on God alone." Once Hanuman was asked, still reading from the Gospel, once Hanuman was asked, "What day of the lunar month is it? Hanuman replied, "I don't know anything about the day of the month or the position of the moon and stars or any such things. I think of Rama alone." Indirectly, Sri Ramakrishna was hinting to him, why discuss these questions of rebirth, all those things? Just think about God. Cultivate devotion to God. Know God. Then everything will become clear. Can one ever understand the work of God? He is so near. Still, it is not possible for us to know him. Balarama did not realize that Krishna was God. Balarama was there, right by the side of Krishna from childhood, but he didn't even know that Krishna was Bhagwan himself. On another occasion, he said the same thing. It's not important to discuss this question. He said, there was a devotee, his name was Nanda. Nanda asks the question, "Sir, is there no afterlife? What about punishment for our sins?" Sri Ramakrishna replies, "Why not enjoy the mangoes? What need have you to calculate about the afterlife and what happens then and things like that? Eat your mangoes. You need mangoes. You need devotion to God." That means cultivate devotion to God. Don't worry about all these questions about what happens after death. Important to use this life, to use our time in this life to achieve the goal, namely God realization. He seemed to think that it is important for a serious seeker to focus on the goal of attaining God realization and not waste time on questions such as reincarnation, etc. However, there were two occasions. This topic came up many times in Sri Ramakrishna's devotees. On two occasions, he gave a very clear-cut reply in the affirmative. Yes, there is rebirth. With examples. So I'm reading from the gospel. Sri Ramakrishna's reply, two separate occasions on the continuation of life after death. There was a devotee, Pranakrishna. He asked Sri Ramakrishna, "Sir, what is the nature of life after death?" Sri Ramakrishna's reply was this. Keshav Sen also asked that question. "As long as a man remains ignorant, that is to say, as long as he has not realized God, so long he will be born. But after attaining knowledge, he will not have to come back to this earth or to any other plane of existence." So there is a continuation of the journey, and there is an end of the journey when the destination is reached. That he made clear. The potter, he gives an example. The potter puts his pots in the sun to dry. Haven't you noticed that among them, there are both baked and unbaked ones? When a cow happens to walk over them, some of the pots get broken to pieces. The broken pots that are already baked, the potter throws away, since they are of no more use to him. But the soft ones, though broken, he gathers them up. He makes them into a lump, and out of this forms new pots. In the same way, so long as a man has not realized God, he will have to come back to the potter's hand, potter with a capital P. He will have to come back to the potter's hand, that is, he will have to be born again and again. What is the use of sowing boiled paddy again? It will never bring forth a shoot. Likewise, if a man is boiled in the fire of knowledge, he will not be used for new creation. He is liberated. Once a person achieves self-knowledge or pure devotion to God or liberation, that person's journey ends there. There is no more continuation. No more need to take another birth. On another occasion, he gave a detailed description of how, after a series of births, during which the seeker has put forth efforts for spiritual realization, illumination, in the final birth, it will happen with a very nice graphic example. I'm reading again from the gospel. Sri Ramakrishna, "One must admit the existence of tendencies inherited from previous births." When M asked the same question about inherited tendencies from previous birth, he didn't give a definite reply. Why discuss those questions? Now he gives a definite reply. There is a story about a man who practiced the Shava Sadhana. Shava means a corpse, dead body. He worshipped the Divine Mother in a deep forest. There is some kind of a tantric, very rare tantric kind of spiritual practice where a seeker has to find a corpse, dead body, and do some rituals and do japa. I don't know the details. Those are not in common domain of knowledge, in the domain of common knowledge. But he refers to that. It's called Shava Sadhana. There is a story about a man who practiced the Shava Sadhana. He worshipped the Divine Mother in a deep forest. First, he saw many terrible visions. Finally, a tiger attacked and killed him. The seeker who had acquired a dead body for his sadhana, he was killed by a tiger. Another man, happening to pass and seeing the approach of the tiger, had climbed a tree. Afterwards, he got down and found all the arrangements for worship at hand. Everything had been prepared by the previous person who was killed by the tiger. Everything is ready. And in the meantime, tiger came and killed him. So this other person who was watching the whole thing from the top of the tree, he was watching. Everything is ready. Tiger went away after killing that person. No sooner had he done a little japa, he performed some purifying ceremonies and seated himself on the corpse. The second person who was sitting, watching the whole thing. No sooner had he done a little japa than the Divine Mother appeared before him and said, "My child, I am very much pleased with you. Accept a boon from me." He bowed low at the lotus feet of the goddess and said, "May I ask you one question, Mother? I am speechless with amazement at your action." The other man worked so hard to get the ingredients for your worship and tried to propitiate you for such a long time, but you didn't condescend to show him your favor. And I, who didn't know anything about worship, who have done nothing, who have neither devotion nor knowledge nor love, and who have not practiced many austerities, I am receiving so much of your grace." Person asked the Divine Mother. The Divine Mother said with a laugh, "My child, you don't remember your previous births. For many births you tried to propitiate me through austerities. As a result of those austerities, all these things have come to hand. And you have been blessed with my vision. Now ask me your boon." So the second person, who just happened to be there, as if by chance, nothing happens by chance. It's all, there's a bigger plan to which we are not privy. We don't know. We only know a little window of the present moment. What happened in our past, we don't know. What's going to happen in the future, we don't know. We are only seeing this present moment through this window. But this person had done a lot of spiritual practices, as the Divine Mother herself explains. And then this was his last birth. Everything had been kept ready for him. The other person gathered all the ingredients and made all the preparatory arrangements and everything for Shava Sadhana. And that other person was killed by a tiger. And everything, the field was open. Everything was all made ready for him. All he had to do is to sit down on this corpse and do some prayer, japa, whatever had to be done. He did that. Divine Mother appeared and blessed him. So it means that our spiritual journey continues from birth to birth. In every birth, we make some progress. And then, when the final birth happens, somehow we gravitate towards spiritual life, propelled by the samskaras, impressions of the previous births, previous lifetimes. And then, in the final birth, we reach the goal. That seems to be the reply that Sri Ramakrishna gave. Then, on another occasion, Sri Ramakrishna gave a similar reply. There was a devotee named Shyam. Shyam asked Sri Ramakrishna, "Sir, is there such a thing as reincarnation?" This question came up so many times. In the gospel, you see again and again people asking about life after death. Shyam asked, "Sir, is there such a thing as reincarnation? Shall we be born again?" Sri Ramakrishna asked God about it. See, he doesn't want even to reply directly. That means you have to see God first, to ask God. That means you have to focus your attention and channel your energy and use the time to reach the goal of God realization, rather than philosophizing and speculating on questions of next birth. Why next birth? Do this now. Whatever you have to do, do it in this birth. That seemed to be the thrust in his reply. Ask God about it. Pray to him sincerely. He will tell you everything. Speak to Jadumallik, and he himself will tell you how many houses he has, how many government bonds. It is not right to try to know these things at the beginning. First of all, realize God. Then he himself will let you know whatever you desire. This reply he gave several times. First, whenever any question came up about karma or rebirth or anything, he would always say the same thing. First, know God. And then whatever you have to know, God will tell you. Divine Mother will tell you everything you have to know. She will give you Brahma Jnana if you want Brahma Jnana. But you have to realize God first. Make that the priority rather than discussing questions in a theoretical way. That seemed to be Sri Ramakrishna's emphasis. Now let us see what Swamiji thought about rebirth, Swami Vivekananda. In this area, Swamiji was traveling. It must be 1895, some around that time. He happened to be in Washington, D.C. area, and Swamiji spoke at the People's Church in Washington, D.C. on the invitation of Dr. Kent, who was the pastor of the church, People's Church. And the session was like a Sunday service, and Swamiji spoke about religion and spirituality. And after the talk, Swamiji had a conversation with a Washington Post reporter. Washington Post was there also in Swamiji's time. So a reporter asked Swamiji about reincarnation. And Swamiji told him, he said that reincarnation is not an established law. Quote, Swamiji's reply, reincarnation seems to me to be the nearest to a logical explanation for many things with which we are confronted in the realm of religion. The theory of rebirth, reincarnation, explains, karma theory explains many questions. But does not answer all the questions. Supposing a child is born with extraordinary capabilities, gifted child, or a child is born with average intelligence abilities or sometimes below average intelligence abilities. Why this differentiation at birth? The child has not done anything in this life to merit one thing or the other. He's just born. And how can you account the differences at birth? Reincarnation, karma theory explains that kind of question. If there is an answer to that. This person, this child, sometimes you see in the news that a three-year-old boy plays some Beethoven symphony like that, like a professional person. How did the child learn? When did the child have time to learn this classical music and achieve that degree of excellence in performance? It must have been done in the previous birth. You can infer like that. That kind of question, to some extent, reincarnation theory explains. It can also be used to explain some of our sufferings, for which we cannot account for in this life. Whatever I do did not warrant such a punishment or suffering that I am having now. So I may conclude that this must be the result of past life. Something I did bad in the past life, so that suffering is coming back to me now. That gives some consolation. It does not solve the problem. See, explanation does not solve the problem. You still have to deal with the problem on hand. So that is why both Swamiji and Sri Ramakrishna and other teachers have also emphasized it's not necessary to inquire why this is happening. The best thing to do is to use the present opportunity, like the birth that we have, when we have been given now human birth, which is very precious, to use this opportunity to reach the goal. And not simply waste time and energy in speculating on a question for which we don't seem to have clear answers. So let us see what Swamiji said to that reporter. Reincarnation seems to me to be the nearest to a logical explanation for many things with which we are confronted in the realm of religion. But I do not advance it as a doctrine. He was very clear about it. Swamiji says, I do not advance it as a doctrine, the theory of reincarnation. It is no more than a theory at best. These are Swamiji's words to the Washington Post reporter. It is no more than a theory at best and is not susceptible of proof except by personal experience. And that proof is good only for the man who has it. The lot of anecdotal incidents, evidence, to support the theory of reincarnation. So many. And there is something called NDE. Swami Mahayogananda spoke about it once. He spoke about near-death experience. People who apparently die and then they are resuscitated and they come back. Then they remember what happened, where they went to some other plane of existence, some light came and got them. All these things. There's a whole lot of information available about NDE, near-death experience. If you Google NDE, you will find all of that. References. So there must be something like rebirth. You cannot dismiss that. But there is no conclusive proof. In an objective way, cannot prove. In a personal way, subjectively, we have enough evidence and quite a bit of conviction we can develop about the continuation of life after death. Before we conclude, we see what Sri Krishna says in the Gita. He makes it very clear. Ambivalence there. Very clearly Sri Krishna says, yes, there is. So we'll come to that also. Sri Krishna's reply. On another occasion, Swami Vivekananda said, do you know what I think? These are his words. Do you know what I think? I don't care for mukti, liberation and all that. My mission is to arouse within you all such ideas. I am ready to undergo 100,000 rebirths to train up a single man. He wanted to, and on the occasion he said, the goal of my life is to remind everybody of their divinity. Swamiji's message was, each soul is potentially divine, but it is the divinity remains potential in most of the people's lives, in the lives of most of the people. So Swamiji wanted to awaken that potential divinity in every being, that he made the mission of his. He said to even arouse the spiritual consciousness of one person, I am willing to take 100,000 births. Several times he seemed to have made such statements. Even to relieve the suffering of one person, I don't mind taking 1,000 births. So he referred to rebirth on more occasions than one, but he would not emphasize, yes, there is a law of rebirth. It's only a theory. It accounts for many questions, answers many questions that we have from time to time, and especially in regard to suffering, etc. And it also has a positive aspect. The positive aspect is that if we don't reach the goal in this life, there is always a second chance. There is always another chance. You'll be born again to continue the journey. But that all the teachers have de-emphasized that. They said we should not think like that. We should try to reach the goal in this life rather than postponing the achievement of the goal to some future life about which we don't know anything. Nothing can be known about future life, nor do we know anything about the past life. So the best thing is to use the present life, the time available now, to reach the goal. That's why Shankaracharya says this birth as a human being is the most precious gift one can achieve. There are three things which are very precious and rare to come by. One is the opportunity to be born as a human being, manushyatvam, human life. If you are born as a tree or an animal, we don't know. Our whole life passes, transpires on the basis of instinct. We eat when we are hungry and we sleep when we are tired, and that life goes. But it's only from the human platform that we can rise to the level of the divine. That's the speciality of human birth. And that gift we have received. Manushyatvam, mumukshatvam, a little bit of desire. Mumukshatvam means we have some desire for life. Otherwise, we should not be here on a Sunday morning. We would not be here. We would be doing something else. We are here. The fact that we are here discussing such questions indicates that we have desire for liberation. We want to achieve devotion to God. We want to achieve liberation. We want to achieve self-knowledge. We have that one. But it has to be intensified, and we have to work to make it real, reach the goal, that desire for liberation. We have to achieve that in this life. And then third thing that is very rare, Shankara says, Mahapurusha Samshrayaha, the company of a great person. We have the company of great people, not one. We are very, very, very much blessed in that respect. We have the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swamiji, and their disciples, and so many other saints. So many other saints. So we have access to this information. We have sources to inspire us to proceed on this path. So we all have all the gifts have been given to us. So we have to use this opportunity, this rare opportunity as a human birth, to reach the goal of spiritual realization. Continue to do our spiritual journey in this life. Now, let us see one more thing. What Bhagavad Gita says, Sri Krishna says in the Gita about the question of rebirth. In many places in the Gita, Sri Krishna has talked about rebirth. There it is clear information in the Gita. For example, in the second chapter, he says, Dehantara praptihi, Dehi nos minyatha, Dehe kaumaram yavanam jara, Tatha Dehantara praptihi. Dehantara prapti means acquiring another body. That means the present body has to go. That he doesn't say. It's a positive spin there. He says, acquiring a new body is another transformation milestone in life, nothing new. That means to acquire a new body, you have to give the present. You can't have two bodies at the same time. So you have to give the present body. That means you have to die before you are born again. That's put in a very nice way. Dehantara prapti. Like that on many occasions in the Gita, throughout the Gita, Sri Krishna is referred to rebirth. In one place, he gives a very detailed and unequivocal reply. In six verses, that's the longest he has devoted. Number of verses, largest number of verses devoted in one place to discuss the, explain the phenomenon of rebirth. Arjuna's question itself occurs, takes three verses. Verses 37, 38, 39 in the sixth chapter. Arjuna says, what happens to a person who has been doing spiritual practices for some time diligently but does not reach the goal, and in the meantime death comes? Aprapya yoga samsiddhim kamgitim krishna gacchati. Yoga samsiddhi means the fruition of our spiritual practices, namely realization, liberation. We don't achieve. A person does not achieve. And he has done a lot of work, spiritual practices. What happens is that all work will go in to a waste. It seems to in worldly matters. Supposing a person works very hard and makes a lot of money and saves the money and keeps it in the bank. American bank or Swiss bank, someplace, or both. Now, next time when the person is born, he cannot have access that money. He cannot go to the bank and say, in my last birth, I deposited, I want to withdraw some money. No way. You have to deposit new money in next birth. So whatever worldly accomplishment we do in this life ends with this life. Supposing a person has finishes BA degree and then takes up a job and spends, he has no opportunity to go to graduate school, but he has desire to go to graduate school. They cannot do that for whatever reason. In the meantime, life passes and he passes away. Next time when he is born, he cannot go to graduate school. No, we have to go back to preschool, kindergarten, grade 1, high school, college. When you get your BA degree, then you take your GMAT or whatever, GRE, and then apply for graduate school. You have to go through the whole process again. Whatever you accomplish in this life will not be saved for our next life in worldly matters, but not so in spiritual matters. This is the most positive information, encouraging information we get from the Bhagavad Gita, inspiring information. Even a little bit of dharma, if we have done, spiritual practice we have done, it will never be lost, it will be saved. Our journey will continue from where we leave off in this life. In the second chapter itself, Sri Krishna says, in this field of spiritual effort, spiritual practice, there is no loss of effort. Neha bhikramana shosti pratyavayo nevijite. No adverse side effect. In other fields of life, you do something to achieve a good goal, but instead of achieving something good, something bad may happen. Or something bad may happen in addition to the good thing you achieve. Now, there may be some side effect. Supposing I have headache and I take Tylenol or ibuprofen, and that will cause time a problem. Then I have to take something else. So one problem is solved, another problem comes. Another problem comes. That's the nature of worldly life. But not so in the case of spiritual practice. In this case, in the matter of spiritual practice, there is no loss of effort, Sri Krishna assures in the second chapter. And there is no adverse side effect also. Whatever little we have done, svalpamapyasya dharmasya prayate mahato bhayat. Even if a little bit of the spiritual practice, if we do, it will be saved. It will save us, take us quite a bit on advance on our spiritual journey. It will not be lost. Even if death comes in between, it will not be lost. It will be saved for us. That is the message Sri Krishna gives in the sixth chapter. He explains it very clearly. Could not be clearer. So Arjuna's question itself was couched in three verses, 37, 38, 39, in sixth chapter. And Sri Krishna says, Arjuna says, Etanme samshayam Krishna. This is my great doubt. Samshaya means doubt. Chetmasa sashesha. There is no other person whom I can approach for a clarification in this matter, Arjuna says to Sri Krishna. Krishna is the only person who can give clear-cut answer to this question. Arjuna says that to Krishna. Now Krishna devotes six Gita, there are six verses explaining in detail what happens after death. One first thing Sri Krishna says, O Arjuna, a person who does even a little bit of good deed will not perish in the end. Nahi kalyana krit kashchit durgatim tata gacchati. Very assuring word. In ninth chapter also he says the same thing, but sixth chapter makes it very clear. He says, even if you do a little bit of spiritual practice, that will save you. It may take a long time, several lifetimes, but it will not be lost. It will be saved. Then he says, two things are possible. When a person does a lot of spiritual practices and death comes in between and that person has not reached the goal, then one of two things are possible. Two options are possible. First is, a person first of all goes to the various heavens, Brahmaloka, all those lokas are described in the Puranas, and stays there for a long time. Prapya punya kartam lokan ushitva shashvati sama. For a long time he will be there, enjoying the fruits of his good actions. That person could not reach the goal in this life, but did a lot of spiritual practice. Then there will be rebirth. Rebirth can happen in one of two ways. First option is, you will be born in a family of pure and well-to-do people. Shuchinam srimatam gehe yoga brashto vijayate. That person will be born again in a very nice family. See, we don't have control where we are going to be born, or we didn't have control when you are born in this life. I wish I were born to some millionaire. No, that won't work. You are born where you are. That you cannot change. But this person who does a lot of spiritual practice but has not reached, he will be born in a very good family, well-to-do family, family of educated people, sattvic people, and the family environment is conducive to the continuation of spiritual journey. The environment is very conducive to the continuation of spiritual journey. Or, athava, yoginameva kule dhimatam bhavati. They may be born in the family of yogis. Either rich, well-to-do people, sattvic people, educated people, that family, or in a family of yogis. May not be well-to-do, but they're all doing yoga practices, various kinds of yogas, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, whatever. In such a family, this person will be born to continue the spiritual journey. Then what happens? That person's spiritual journey continues from the point where he had left off in the previous birth, not from the beginning. Propelled by the previous samskaras, impressions of spiritual practices done in the previous birth or previous births, that person gravitates towards spiritual goal and rapidly makes progress and achieves the goal in that life. That is Sri Krishna's answer. To understand this, I give this example. Spiritual journey is like long distance road journey. Supposing I start from Boston and I want to go to Los Angeles, Vedanta Center of Southern California, Society of Southern California. Now, I can just take a flight and go in about 6 hours, or I choose to drive. I want to drive from coast to coast. But you can't cover the distance in one day. So start from Boston at 9 o'clock in the morning and travel about 300 miles. I have to drive the whole distance. And then nightfall, I cannot drive anymore. I have driven a lot. So I find a place in motel or some friend's house nearby. Stay there. Next morning, second morning when I get up to continue my journey, from where do I start? Not from Boston. from the point where I left off the previous night. The same is the case in spiritual journey too. And then second day, from that point where from where I had stayed the previous night, first night, I continue my journey, so I reach up to Washington, D.C. I can do it in one day, it may take 10 hours, but I split to 5 hours each day I drive. So I stay in the Vedanta, so it's the guest house, Vedanta Center guest house, second day. 2 days journey are over, but only in Washington. I have to go to Los Angeles. So next day, third day, when I wake up and start driving, from where do I start? Not from Boston, not from that point where I stayed the first night, from Washington, D.C. That journey is cumulative. Nothing done is lost. Every foot covered is a foot covered. You don't have to retrace the steps. Like this, another from Washington, D.C., I go to Pittsburgh someday, one day, or someplace in Ohio, Cincinnati, or Columbus, or someplace. And then I go to eastward, Colorado, someplace. And finally, I reach Los Angeles on the sixth day. So every day, the distance covered is covered once and doesn't have to be retraced. There's no going back in the spiritual journey. Whereas in the worldly matter, you have to go back from step on square one. Even if you die as a rich person, next time you have to start earning from the first dollar. Start from preschool, kindergarten, etc. The journey done in one life ends, provides the fruit, and that ends with this life. Not in the case of spiritual journey. Spiritual journey is continuous. However, comforting this thought may be, there is a caution that we hear from our teachers. Sri Ramakrishna said, don't worry about tree, but just focus on spiritual practice. Because when we hear the spiritual journey is continuous, nothing is lost here, some people who was mumukshatva, desire for liberation is lukewarm, they may say, oh, you don't have to struggle. Whatever we do in this life will be saved. Next time, we can achieve liberation. And there will be so many opportunities. So in every life, we do a little bit progress. What is the hurry? Life after life, God will give you as many lives as I need to reach the goal. That procrastination we tend to do. In order to discourage that, Swami Yatishwarananda, who was very well-known Swamiji, who was in this country in the 1940s in Philadelphia. So he wrote a book with which many of you are familiar, Meditation and Spiritual Life. There he gives the caution. This encouraging information, as encouraging as it is, comforting as it is, that nothing is lost in spiritual journey. Everything done is cumulative and will count life after life, should not be used as a reason to procrastinate and not put in sincere hard work to reach the goal in this life. So he says, but reincarnation is not the most vital point, the Meditation Spiritual Life book. We have to try to get full illumination in this very life. That's why Sri Ramakrishna evaded the question. He did not clear reply. He says, rebirth, all those things, many people say something like that is there, that may be true, but why not see God first and cultivate devotion to God? She will tell you, Divine Mother will tell you everything you have to know. Like that. They brought us back to the present life. Important thing is to strive now in this life, thinking this is the last life. Reincarnation is not the most vital point. We have to try to get full illumination in this very life. So reincarnation should never be stressed very much in spiritual life. That is the conclusion. Reincarnation is there. Sri Krishna says very clearly it is there. Another life will be there. But we should not use that information to postpone our effort or to dilute our spiritual effort. We have to think that this is the opportunity. What happens next life, where I'll be born, I don't know. All this ISIS, all this thing going on, caliphate, everything. We don't know where we'll be born. And where Vedanta Sutta will be there, we don't know. Better do it now in this life. Whatever time is left in this life, we have to reach the goal. That should be our present approach.